Well, who's looking forward to 2017?
Me.
Well, I've started off this year with a wonderful sermon, all sorted and ready, and I'm not bringing it this morning. I kind of share with you the journey I'm doing. I'm really sticking my neck out, and most of you really anointed prophetic people don't have a problem with this, but trying to hear words of knowledge. And the scary thing that I'm discovering, and you know, you've heard me stand up here and do them. You've seen it. And it's been great, hasn't it? I mean, it's just been, I breathe a sigh of relief. That worked, you know, that was really. And so I'm trying to let the Lord speak to me in the same way. And one of the things that happens for me, and hopefully this is helpful for you, and not just what happens for Jill or others who, that when I just rest and stop and just stop and do my best to listen, which I don't get too carried away with it. One of the things that we need to try, and what I'm trying to do, is to always know that in any moment of the day, Jesus is with me, regardless of how I feel. And all I have to do is to stop and just simply thank you, Jesus, that you are here right now and he's there. Whether I feel it or not, it's the reality. And I'm trying to do that now more and more often. Just stop, thank you, Lord, you're with me. And then so I do that and I say, Lord, what do you, you know, and we were praying for a guy, and you know, the leaders, and so we're praying, and I was kind of exhausted, and I actually didn't really want to be praying. I thought, oh, how could that be? You know, I don't want to bless him, not because I don't like him, I just didn't have the, you know, sorry, it's terrible, isn't it? It wasn't so I don't want to because I didn't like him, it was just I was exhausted, and I can't be bothered praying at the moment, and I just felt like, no, I've got to, you know, if God is with you, Ian. So I said, all right, Lord, what have you got a word for him? And what I'm finding, I am barely fit. I don't even get to put the full stop on that sentence. Literally, Lord, do you have a word for me? Boom, and a word comes straight out. Is it like that for you, Jill?
Can be.
Oh, God's like this for me all the time. Boom, it comes straight in. Reconstruction.
Okay.
Is there anything else? Was that it? You know, was that it? And often I'm not really 100% sure because it sounded like a re and then construction. And I think, is that supposed to, did I get that right? Now, this is the scary part. You have to try it. Mm-hmm. You have to try it. And I'm thinking, God, what does reconstruction mean? I mean, why would I tell this person that the word's reconstruction? I thought, Lord, what do I say? So I'm trying to think, what does reconstruction look like? It's, you know. So anyway, I started talking about reconstruction. I said, I feel like the word I've got for you is reconstruction, because I backed it up and said, you know, if it's, you know, just put it up on the shelf and wait a further, you know, get confirmation. All the, you know, this is just the sort of this is the safety clause, you know, for, which I felt I should do that. Anyway, I said reconstruction. I felt it's not a negative thing. It doesn't necessarily mean there's anything wrong. It's just sometimes there's changes, the Lord, that a reconstruction is just simply saying, you have to expand. We've got to build this out here. We've got to push this wall out here. Not that there's anything, you know, I was trying to say there, not there's anything that's not rotten, it's not falling apart. It's just that we're expanding and we've got to move things around. We've got to pull some stuff down and put some new things up. That's reconstruction. Probably another word is renovation. But that's not the word the Lord gave me. So I'm trying. This is what I'm struggling to say. This is how I think it is. And he was silent. I thought, well, I stuffed that one. Anyway, Cole kept praying and everything. And then about a minute later, he said, do you know what? What you said in reconstruction, I know exactly what you mean. I said, what do you mean? He said, we have just been putting plans together to redo our house. We're thinking of pulling out walls. We're thinking of pushing out the front wall. We're thinking of doing. It was almost word for word what I'd said, what I thought it was. And I thought, and I'm going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. He said, so I know exactly what you're saying to me, and I can take that to my heart for what God wants to do in my life. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I think it's amazing. Scary but amazing. So I'm praying on Friday. in the midst of my word, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to say? Something comes, boom. Well, that's not much. And I've got other things on my mind to be, oh, that's such a good word, you know, that I've heard some things earlier in the week, and I thought, I put that together, that'd be a great message, that's a good message. We need to hear that. We need to hear this message anyway. I need to hear this message. So I've, you know, I spent Friday doing this other thing. Because nothing else was coming about this that came into my mind. I said, well, what? What? And nothing was coming. So I hadn't quite finished, and I needed to spend some time yesterday, you know, just tidying it up as best I can, so that it's at least it's comprehensible, has some order to it. And I could not shake off this that came through. And this is what I felt the Lord saying. The wind is blowing. The wind is blowing. So I can't, I've got to go with it. It feels like a word of knowledge, it feels like. So I'm going with it. So we'll see where it goes. So just bear with me. And I don't feel like I'm a prophet. But it kind of feels like a prophetic thing that I'm saying. So, you know, I get nervous at this point. Anyway, the wind is blowing. That's not to say that the wind hasn't been blowing before, but when the Lord says that, it means pay attention. It means pay attention. There's something happening. The wind is blowing. And so I said, Lord, what? And just the phrase yesterday just kept coming and coming and coming. So I backed up and I thought, Lord, what are you saying to us? And the interesting thing is, we'll start with Peter. Peter said, I think early December, I can't remember the gist of it, but you stood up and you said, you feel that we as a church have grown to such a point that we are now ready to break out. We're ready to start moving. We're ready to just go boom or something. It was words along that line, wasn't it? We were at the last river together. Sab thought, blow this, I'm going to go and get a word. And she went to the prophetic table, and two of the ladies, and they had two of them, said to her, I've got a picture of Narnia. You know the movie, do you see? So who's seen the movie, Lion, Witch and the Wardrobe? So, oh, a lot of us, you know. And she said, I can see the waterfall. And the waterfall's been frozen, but I can see the cracks in it. Of course, you know what happened in the movie. As soon as the cracks came, what happened? Ba-voom! Poosh! It broke forth. I thought, oh, that's interesting.
Because Aslan was in the house.
Because Aslan, yes, I was going to say, because Aslan is on the move. Now, I heard someone say to, I don't know if it was the same time, but that phrase got bandied about not so long ago somewhere, Aslan is on the move. Who knows what I mean by Aslan is on the move? That's why the waterfall was breaking, because he was on the move. The wind is blowing. The wind is blowing. The wind is blowing. And then, not content with that, shall I say who it was? I better not say who it was. I don't want to put him on the spot. But you'll all know. Sab stopped a guy who's got a great prophetic ministry. He's in the church, and we'll drag him over here sometime. It wasn't Al, it was someone else. And she said, I'm not, because she was car park or something or other. And he went bye-bye and just chatted. He said, well, I'm not leaving you until you give me a word. So
he was going home early, and I said, well, if you're going home early, you have to pay. I want a word.
So he stopped and he stepped for a minute and he said, do you know what? I think there's a new season coming for you. Was that what he said?
Sorry?
What did he say? There was a new season. There's a new season coming. I'm excited by that. The wind is blowing.
He said there was a new season coming. The wind's changing. Make ready your sails.
Oh, my gosh. Did he? I didn't have that written down. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. Honestly, I did not know that. The wind is, because I'm just about to say that's what happens when there's a change of season. You will notice when we move from summer into winter, there's this autumny thing. But around the equinox time, you will find the winds start blustering and blowing stronger and more steadily and growing stronger. Well, at least it happens in New Zealand, but I've noticed it here too. Until you get to the middle of the winter and you get these storms. But the wind changes when there's in either strength or direction or whatever, when there's a change of season. The wind's blowing. The wind's blowing. I'm excited by this. The wind is blowing, and the Lord's The wind is blowing. So it's for us as a church. I don't know if this is for the whole church. Could be, whatever. But I know he's saying to us as a church because of these words and because just gut feeling. And things that are happening around us. Things that are happening around us. The wind is blowing. The wind is blowing. Get ready to set our sails. See, now England has a great heritage of sailing. How many of you are sailors here? Probably not many. You know, out of the 70 million, how many people here in England have ever been on a yacht? Probably not that many, except you're an island and you're surrounded by water. So it's not surprising to go to the coast and see yachts everywhere. It isn't surprising. Some of the best, who's heard of the Fastnet race? You know, some of you heard of that. One of the most iconic races in world racing is the Fastnet race. People come from around the world to race it. It's such a challenging, an amazing race. You can lose your yacht in this race. It goes from the Solent, the Isle of Wight, out past the end of Cornwall, up towards, is it the Fastnet Rock by South Wales, the southwestern end of Ireland. So they sail all the way out there and come back. And of course, at that time, it's the equinoxial winds are starting to blow. So it's dangerous. It's dangerous. But this is the heritage that's here. You people conquered the world sailing. You had boats that sailed the world. Roll Britannia, Britannia rule the world. That was with sailing boats. Shall I do it again? No. You conquered the world with sailing boats. Sailing is not foreign to this place. Why am I going? I don't know why I'm going on to the sailing. Let's get the sails ready. I did a lot of sailing in New Zealand. I loved it. Loved it. Absolutely. Auckland City has the highest number of water boats per head of population than any other city in the world. That doesn't mean to say we've got more boats than, say, well, it wouldn't be London. It would be, say, like something like Sydney or other places where there's big harbours and there's lots of boats. But because of our small population, there's a huge, but just about every person's got a boat of some sort. You know, only be sort of one in five that doesn't have a boat. Don't think it's that much, but well, it's like that. But Auckland has the biggest percentage of boats per head of population. So of course, you know, if you're in Auckland, you go out in the water and you sail. And the interesting thing about sailing is that you cannot control the wind. You can't control the wind. But you trim your sails and you adjust the rudder to go with the wind, to get to where you want to go. And even better, when the wind blows, you go with the wind. Now here's the interesting thing. The hardest thing about sailing is going into the wind. You know, obviously if the wind's coming this way, you point your boat straight and you're just going to get blown backwards. And even if so when they sail to go, if I got to get from here to there, I have to go out there and out there and out there. I've got to have the wind coming off, I've got to have the wind coming off so the sail kind of catches the wind and the theory, I think, don't worry about the theory. And so the boat goes forward, but it chunks on bigger seas, it chunks and does it, you know, doosh, doosh, heading into these waves that are coming towards you, and it can be quite tiresome. When it's a bit smoother and you're a bit closer to the shore, it can feel like you're really racing on because the boat tips over. I mean, I love that. I love the boat go right away. I'm screaming because it's such an adrenaline rush. But it's actually not the fastest that the boat goes. It feels like it because the wind's blowing against you and you're tipped on the side and oh, yeah, this is awesome. And when you've got the boat cranked up a sight, the boat goes fastest when I turn around and let the wind take me. Put the forward sail out one side, put the big sail out the other side. They call it gull winging, that's what they call it in New Zealand if it's something else here. And you drive. Now the interesting thing is, that is when you're going the fastest. You are motoring. The interesting thing is, you don't know it. You can't feel it because you're going with the wind. And you can't feel it. The only way you really know is if you sort of let go of the tiller for a minute and the thing goes like this and all of a sudden it's all chaos. It can be. It's technically the most difficult. In other words, if you make a slight error, you're in trouble. But if you've got everything, if you're concentrating, you don't realize how fast you're going. The only way you can tell is if you zip past something that's in the water or you look down over the side of the boat and you see the water surging past you, and you see bits of stuff, and it just vroom like this, and you think, man, we are flying. But you don't know if you're just sitting in the boat watching what's happening, because you're going with him. I think that's significant. If you go with the wind, when we go with the wind, we don't realize what's happening, but we see we actually powerful things are happening. Amazing stuff is happening. When we're going into the wind, it's just hard work. Just hard work. But when we go with the wind, it's exciting, and stuff happens, and we get to where we want to go. Anyway, that's my illustration of them there. I want to just have a couple of scriptures. Interesting enough, in the Old Testament, the word for the Spirit of God, for the Spirit, is Ruach, which most of you probably heard this. Who's heard this before? This is not news. Some of you have heard it. It is wind. Predominantly, it's translated in the scriptures, wind. Sometimes breath, a couple of places, but mostly wind. The word for the Spirit in the New Testament is pneuma, you know, as in pneumatic, air and tires and stuff like that, which mostly translated as breath. The breath. But Jesus once spoke of the Spirit of God like a wind blowing. Remember that passage? Who knows that passage? Put your hand if you know where that is. John chapter 10.
John 3.
That was naughty, just testing everyone's Bible knowledge.
Thank you.
Ah, dear you. Never mind. Let's have a look at that. Let's have a look at that. And then you might want to put your finger in Isaiah chapter 40. This is John chapter 3, where it's the passage where we remember Nicodemus is coming to him, and he comes in the night. Have we got it up there, Andy? Are we able to put John 3, it's verse... we can go from verse 5. But anyway, Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the evening, and he says, we know that you're from... no one can do the signs that are with you. If it wasn't from God, no one could do the signs that you're doing, da-da-da-da-da. And he says, truly I say to you, unless a man is born again. Everyone knows this. Everyone who's evangelist knows you've got to be born again before you can enter the kingdom of God, which is true. You have to be. And so that's where that phrase comes. And then Nicodemus goes on to say, there it is. Jesus answered, truly, truly. Oh, Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old, da-da-da? I don't want to go on the born again thing. I just want to look at the thing that Jesus says here. Truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, must be born again. And here's the verse. The wind blows where it wishes. I think it's the only place in the New Testament where the Spirit of God is referred to as the wind. I may be wrong. Please tell me if there's another passage. I'm quite happy to be wrong on that. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. I think that's an amazing verse. I've read different commentaries and things of people saying that, and no one's ever really got me satisfied with that, with what they've said about it. I think there's something, and I don't myself think that I've got the final word. I'm not trying to say that, but there's just the thing that says to me is that Jesus is saying, you can't control this. You go where he takes you. If you're born of the Spirit, you go with the Spirit. He takes you where he wants you to go. He does in you what he wants to do in you. You do not control him. We surrender and yield and let him take us. Now that can sound like, that's terrible. Of course the Lord likes to work in partnership with us. That's his desire. But we still do not control him. We have no control over what he does. When the wind blows, the wind blows. Are you with me? We don't tell him what to do. Now there's obviously more in that passage than that little bit there, but that jumps out to me and says, we do not control. We don't know where he's coming. We don't know where he's going. Sort of that's just simply saying, you can't control the Spirit of God. You can't control him. But everyone who is born of the Spirit knows what it is to live in that Spirit. to be living with the one who goes where he wants and goes with us and takes us with him if we are willing. And of course, what does the Spirit of God wants to do? He wants to bring life, he wants to bring peace, he wants to bring joy, he wants to bring salvation, he wants to bring the glory of Jesus on the face of the earth so that people can know the Father whom he sent. That's what he wants to do, and that's what our hearts are to do. So we work in partnership, but we still can't control him. Anyway, you got that? What he likes to do. I've done that one. Yeah, see this, I wrote things down and I haven't had. Anyway, bless God. All right, let's go to Isaiah 40, verse 13. Isaiah is a wonderful book to read. Wonderful, wonderful book. If you can't be bothered reading the whole thing, just read through to verse 12, then read from about 34, 35 onwards. I mean, read the rest of it too, but those first 12 verses are worth reading, and so is from about 30. There's some great, great prophetic promises. And of course, from chapter 40 onwards, there is this, it's almost like a perpetual song. Isaiah is obviously caught up in the Spirit of God, and this is a song. It's all, and he's singing. He's got this prophetic word that's coming out in poetry. I don't know if he's actually singing or what it was, poetry. But he's in the Lord's in him, and he's speaking of the kingdom that's coming, of what God's going to do on the earth when the Messiah comes. It all focuses on what happens when Messiah comes, and what the future is for the world and God's heart for the world. It's very exciting. I love it. It's one of my favorite parts to read in the Old Testament. This is Isaiah 40. And of course, John the Baptist quoted him. He said, "I hear a voice saying, shouting in the wilderness, make way a place for the Lord, that the valleys will be raised high, the mountains will be lowered." I haven't quite got that exactly. That's at the beginning of chapter 40. But let's have a look. And so he's talking, you know, these great things, a voice, go up on, you read it, you'll see familiar things that you've, anyway, but from verse 13, just remembering that the word for spirit is wind. So verse 13 says, who has measured the wind of the Lord, or the spirit of the Lord? Have we got that up there? Oh, cool. Well, what man shows him his counsel? Spirit of the Lord, the wind of the spirit. Whom did, remember, at creation, on the first verse, I think it is first, or someone can correct me on this, that it talks about the Spirit of God hovered over the deep. The Spirit of God was the creative energy. He was the executor of Father's will. He was the one that did the creative. He made us. He did that. That wind of the Spirit that hovered over the depths right at the beginning of creation. Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord? Or what man shows him counsel? Whom did he consult, and who made him understand? we sure didn't. Who taught him the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? There's another book that sounds similar to this. We won't go there. Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are counted as dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Now, just to put a qualification, you read that by itself, it makes it sound like that God doesn't care about anything. Oh, you're just dust on the earth. That's not what God is like. This is simply trying to explain to us that in comparison, the nations that come and they go are just a piece of dust on the ground, in comparison to who the Spirit of God is, who lives and dwells for all eternity, who was before and is after. No beginning, no end. So a nation that comes and goes is but a piece of dust. That's what it's trying to compare. Not trying to say any value judgment that the Lord is putting on that. It's just giving that comparison. Let's go to 17. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are counted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. Again, it's just contrast. Contrast to illustrate a point. Jesus did contrast. He said, unless you hate your father, mother, sister, brother, you cannot be my disciple. Well, is that, did Jesus want us to hate our parents? No. That's stupid. You can't come to that conclusion. If you just take that little verse out, it's not what it means. So we have to look at this scripture in the, you know, it's not what it sounds like when he's saying that. To whom then will you compare God, or what likeness compared with him? Verse 19, an idol. A craftsman casts it. Now verse 19 through to, I won't go through that, is simply talking about idols. In other words, that which we make with our hands and that we elevate with our own abilities, and we try to say this compares to God. Oh, stupid. What a load of nonsense. But people do that. People do that with their wealth. Look what I have made. Bow down and worship it, and by virtue of that, worship me. It's what's going on with a lot of stuff. And this compares to the Spirit of God. That's what he's saying there. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? This is 21. Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing, makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. He is supreme, supreme, supreme. Nobody tells him what to do. You with me? There is a point. There is a point. A good one. We'll get there. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, and when he blows on them, they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. Again, picture language of his power and authority. Okay, the same wind can also do other things, which we'll get to. To whom will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them by name, by the greatness of his might, because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Who's in charge? With all the turmoil that's going on in the world at the moment, the uncertainty, the doubt, the fear, which is rampant, who is in charge? I think this is not a rhetorical question. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? That's really just put there. Why do you say and speak, O chosen people of God? That's all that means. If we put into New Testament context, that's all it means. You and I, we are chosen by the Lord. You who are chosen, why do you speak? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord, now he's talking about the Lord, but still think God, Holy Spirit, wind of the Spirit, all one and the same. Three persons yet the same. If we speak of Jesus, we speak of the other. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And here's the good bit. He gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he increases strength. We are small, we are tiny, but God gives power, God gives strength, God supplies. God's arm is not short that he cannot help. He gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord. You know what the word wait means? Wait as if you stand and you're waiting. He's coming. He's coming. So whatever, you look up your concordance. That's what it means. So someone's coming down the track. You want to surprise them. So you get there and you're ready. He's coming. I'm going to get Peter O'Boyle when he comes out there. I'm going to jump and say, hey, Pete! It's going to scare the cheese out of him. It's going to be fun. That's what it means to wait for, because an expectation, it's fervent expectation for what you're waiting for, because he is coming. That's what that means there. Those who wait for the Lord, those who wait for the Spirit of God, those who listen and hear and said, he's coming, the wind is blowing, he's coming, those who wait for him, when he comes, it's going to be great. Some wait. You follow with me? It's expectation. It's not this, or just, I might have a beer while I wait. It's eager expectation. Oh, what's happened? I've jumped to the next. Anyway. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wonderful. Thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you. I was trying to think of where the mighty wind. I knew that was a phrase from somewhere. I couldn't remember where it was. Wonderful. Yes. So there you go. When the Spirit of God came, it came like a mighty rushing wind. Praise the Lord. The wind is blowing. It may be turbulent. Okay. May get turbulent. And when the wind blows, things shift around. We're in a new season. We're in a new season. I really believe this. I'm just because there's a lot of things happening. When stuff starts happening in all sorts of weird ways and things that you think something's going on, the wind is blowing. And he's blowing on us as a church. I believe he's blowing on us as a church. Be expectant. Be expectant for those things where we're weak, that will become strong. Where there's weakness will become strength. Where there's lack of endurance will suddenly grow. We were feeling faint will become strong. The wind is blowing. Change of season. We can't control them. We can't direct them. But we simply say, Spirit of God, come and have your way with us. It's a lovely song which we will sing one day. It's my favorite at the moment. Breath of God, come blow and have your way in us. So blow upon us and have your way. Have your way, Lord. How many of you want the ways of God in your lives? How many want the Spirit of God to blow upon us and take us where he wants us to go? I do. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to be some person who's missing on what God wants to do. I want to live in the fullness of everything that God has for me. I want to know him as much as I can. Every day. I want to see the things that Jesus did. I want to see his glory. Because that's what the Spirit of God wants to do. I'll just quick list here somewhere. What does he like to do? He wants to reveal Jesus and he wants to bring a testimony to Jesus. So whenever the Spirit of God does a healing or a miracle or a provision, or answers our prayers in amazing ways, that's a testimony not to us but to Jesus. And that's what the Spirit of God loves to do. He wants to boast on Jesus. I actually think he also likes to boast about us when we surrender ourselves and he can use us. Because you will know that people will honor you. That's because you are honoring him. He will honor us. I think he likes to do that. But the first task is to be yielded to him, to be yielded to him and go with him as the wind blows. Now, what it will look like, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. But it's difficult to know with the season. But what I do want to see happen, well, we'll leave that for another change, but just be expectant that God is going to come and visit with us in powerful, powerful ways. In powerful ways. I'm really expectant because when the wind blows, powerful things happen. So get ready to set the sails and to catch him and to go with what he's doing. He likes to equip us, to renew us, to heal us, to restore us, to empower us, to put tire in our... Oh, no, tire. Put fire in our bellies. Put a tire on. What have I put a tire there for? Terrible. Fire, he wants to put fire in our bellies. He wants to put a tire on our believers. What? We must put fire in our belly.
I can't eat
some
tires. I'm getting
oh, well, there you go. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, that's all it appears to be that I want to say right now. I hope that's encouraging. It will mean change sometime. I don't know what change it will be. It will mean being ready to do outrageous things. That's scary, but it's the fun. It's fun. It's fun. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that you, Spirit of God, we thank you that right now you are with us. You surround us with your love. Right now, Lord, you surround us with your love. You surround us with your grace. You surround us with your power. You surround us with your mercy. You are around us and you are in us. And there is nowhere we can run to escape from you. If we went to the highest heights, you were there. As the psalmist in 139 says, if we went to the deepest depths to try and get away from you, we cannot, because there's nowhere we can go where you are not. So because we're your children, we have the wonderful privilege of knowing you personally, and your love and your grace and your peace and your power is with us right now. We are surrounded by it. We're surrounded by you. Whether we know it or not, whether we can experience it or not, it is the truth. It is the reality. And we say, Spirit of God, come and have your way in us. Come and have your way in us as a church. We want to see your kingdom come, manifesting in power and glory and in lives changed for the glory of Jesus' name. Not just our lives. We want to see a community change. We want to see a city won for the Lord. We want to see a nation transformed. Hallelujah. So Lord, we say, come, blow. Spirit of God, come. We open our hearts to you. We set our hearts, we set our sails, whatever that looks like to you. We open our hearts to you the best way we know. And we say, blow upon us, Lord. Blow upon us. Blow upon us and take us where you would have us go. Set us free from the things that are stuffing the sails up, that are preventing us from trimming the sail properly, that make us want to turn the boat around and go another way. Set us free from those things, Lord, so that we can have the exhilarating ride that is flowing with your Spirit. Let your wind blow, Lord. Let your wind blow. In Jesus' name. For many of us, this will be transformational. Actually, for many of us, if you get hold of this, this will be ready. This is not rocket science, of course, it's obvious. But I just felt like the Lord is saying, transformational. Transformational. If you lay hold of this, it will be transformational. You will know and walk in things that you never dreamed, or that you've dreamed of and haven't seen. I've got things I want to see. I've got things I want to see the Lord do. Before I head home. Jesus, wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just breathe, man. Just receive. Stretch out your heart to him. Catch his wind. Hallelujah. New season. The ice is breaking and the waterfall is about to rush.